Imagine for a second that you're walking down the street in your city.
Right, just a normal day.
Yeah. And you pass by this massive century-old brick office building.
Like a real classic heavy piece of architecture.
Exactly. It's solid, it's heavy, and it is completely unmoving.
Yeah.
But then, you pause in front of that building and you pull out your phone.
Probably to check a crypto app, right?
Yeah, exactly. A crypto trading app. And you see these digital numbers just flashing green and red.
Changing literally every single second.
Right. So standing there, you are basically looking at two entirely different universes.
Oh, completely.
Because one is ancient, slow, and physical. And the other is brand new, hyper-fast, and, well, entirely invisible.
Which is a crazy contrast.
It really is. And for a long time, there was absolutely zero crossover between those two realities.
Not at all.
But today, those worlds are violently colliding.
Yeah, we are basically witnessing the end of cryptocurrency existing in total isolation.
Which is huge.
It is. I mean, for a decade, digital assets just sort of floated in cyberspace, totally disconnected from the physical economy.
Right, just doing their own thing.
Exactly. But now we're seeing the underlying technology get actively tethered to real income-generating physical assets.
It's a massive structural shift in how ownership works.
Truly massive.
So we're pulling from a really fascinating piece of research today titled Bridging the Divide, Linking Digital Finance and Physical Property.
It's a great paper.
It really breaks things down.
Yeah.
So our mission for this deep dive is to decode the actual mechanics of this collision.
Yeah, we want to figure out how and why the volatile, speculative arena of digital finance is suddenly trying to anchor itself to the oldest, slowest asset class in human history.
Which is real estate.
Exactly, real estate.
So why now? Like, why are these two worlds finally interacting?
Well, the motivation honestly comes from exhaustion on both sides.
Exhaustion.
Yeah, I mean, the crypto market is notorious for dizzying highs and just catastrophic
Oh,
lows.
for sure. We've all seen the charts.
Right. So digital investors are experiencing this profound fatigue with pure speculation.
They're tired of the roller coaster.
Exactly. Market hype and social media trends, they're just not a reliable foundation for long-term wealth.
Yeah, a tweet shouldn't tank your life savings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those investors are actively seeking out concrete, tangible backing for their digital portfolios.
They want actual brick and mortar sitting underneath their token.
That's exactly what they want.
Okay, let's unpack this because the frustration goes the other way too.
It really does. Traditional property investors are looking at the blockchain with, frankly, serious envy.
I can see why. Buying a commercial building is a notoriously clunky, exclusionary process.
It's a nightmare, honestly.
Right. It requires massive amounts of upfront capital, the paperwork takes months, and you're generally restricted to the geographic area you live in.
Which really limits your options.
So property investors are desperate for the transparency, the global flexibility, and the micro-entry amounts that blockchain technology natively provides.
So you basically have two completely different groups trying to solve their own structural problems.
Right.
To visualize the solution they've come up with, think of the crypto market as a lightweight, hyper-fast speedboat.
Okay, a speedboat. I like that.
Right. And for years, that speedboat was just doing endless loops out in the open ocean, totally untethered, driven entirely by the wind of market hype.
Just going really fast to nowhere?
Exactly. Meanwhile, traditional real estate is a massive, heavy, unmoving dock.
It just sits there.
It just sits there, completely inaccessible to anyone who doesn't already own a giant yacht.
Okay. So the bridge we are talking about today is essentially the heavy rope tying that speedboat to the dock.
That is exactly what it is.
They're trying to create an investment vehicle that is incredibly fast and accessible, but, finally anchored to physical reality.
Precisely.
But taking a step back here, the actual mechanics of tying those two things together seem, well, kind of impossible.
Also.
I mean, if I buy a token representing a building on my phone, I'm obviously not walking up to that building with a physical set of keys.
No, definitely not.
I'm not managing the plumbing when a pipe bursts at 2 a.m.
And you wouldn't want to. What's fascinating here is how the legal structure operates as a translation layer between the physical building and the digital token.
Okay, a translation layer. How does that work?
This is where the concept of tokenization really does the heavy lifting. To get a physical property onto a blockchain, the process actually starts completely offline.
Wait, really? It starts offline.
Yeah. Step one is property identification. A physical asset is identified, say, a commercial high-rise in London.
Okay.
Then step two, the legal structuring. A legal entity, typically like a special purpose vehicle or a trust, is created in the real world to actually buy and hold the physical deed to that building.
Wait, so if I buy these digital units, am I legally on the deed of the house? Does the blockchain replace the local government's property records?
No, not at all. The government ledger remains entirely traditional.
Okay, so the local county clerk doesn't know anything about my crypto wallet.
Exactly. The legal title stays with that special purpose vehicle. The innovation happens in the next step, the token creation.
Got it.
The legal rights to the revenue generated by that special purpose vehicle are defined. And then digital units or tokens are issued on a blockchain to represent fractional access to those specific economic rights.
I want to make sure we nail this distinction because it is the core of the whole concept.
It really is.
It's like taking a giant pizza that usually only one billionaire gets to eat.
Right.
And slicing it into 10,000 digital micro slices.
Great analogy.
So I don't own the pizzeria. I don't even own the pizza box. But holding that digital token means I am legally entitled to the pepperoni on my specific slice.
Yes. You hold the economic rights, not the operational liability.
That makes so much sense.
And step four, investor participation. Placing those micro slices on a blockchain ledger changes the entire distribution model. Well, in traditional real estate syndication, keeping track of 10,000 micro investors would require an army of accountants.
Oh, the paperwork would be insane.
The administrative overhead would just eat all the profits. But by using a blockchain ledger, the ongoing tracking, which is step five, is completely automated.
Because the blockchain just records who owns what fraction transparently.
Exactly. And it updates in real time. This dramatically lowers the entry barrier. You don't need $1 million for a commercial down payment.
You might just need $50 to buy a few tokens.
Right. And an investor in Tokyo can buy a slice of a building in Texas without ever navigating foreign banking systems.
So the ledger acts as this ultimate frictionless administrative layer.
Exactly.
But having a token that says I'm owed money is very different from actually getting paid.
Oh, completely.
Like, how does a tenant paying rent in fiat currency, like dollars or euros, magically turn into crypto showing up on my phone?
The actual flow of funds requires a highly synchronized system.
Walk me through it.
It starts with the tenant paying their rent the exact same way they always have, usually a wire transfer or a check sent to the physical property manager.
Okay, so totally normal real estate stuff so far.
Right. That property manager takes the fiat currency, pays the real-world expenses like maintenance, property taxes, and insurance.
Right.
And then deposits the net profit into the bank account of the special purpose vehicle.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because that traditional bank account has to talk to the blockchain.
Yes, exactly. The platform managing the tokenization takes that fiat net profit and uses an exchange to convert it into a stablecoin.
And just as a quick refresher for everyone, a stablecoin is a cryptocurrency pegged directly to the value of a fiat currency like the US dollar.
Right, so it doesn't fluctuate wildly in value like Bitcoin does.
Okay, so we have the profit and stablecoin. Then what?
That stablecoin is then fed into a smart contract.
And a smart contract is basically just a piece of self-executing code sitting on the blockchain, right?
Yep. It doesn't need a human to click send or verify an Excel spreadsheet.
That's wild.
The smart contract looks at the blockchain ledger, sees exactly which crypto wallets hold the tokens for that specific building, calculates the exact fraction of the rent owed to each wallet, and instantly airdrops the stablecoin directly to the investors.
Wow.
The moment the funds hit the smart contract, the distribution is automatic and mathematically perfect.
We are literally talking about transforming a massive, highly illiquid building into a stream of automated digital dividend checks.
That's exactly what it is.
And the research points to platforms like Osul Gamma that are already doing this.
Yeah, Osul Gamma is a great example.
They're building out the infrastructure so investors can just, you know, browse a digital dashboard, pick a property, buy the tokens, and let the smart contracts handle the rest.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally alters how crypto assets generate yield.
Because it's not based on hype anymore.
Exactly. The revenue logic remains entirely tied to how well the property performs in the physical world.
So what are the models for that revenue?
There are three common revenue models here. The first is pure rental income, where you receive that proportional distribution of the monthly tenant payments.
Makes sense.
The second is asset value growth, where if the building is eventually sold for a profit, the smart contract distributes the capital gains.
Okay, and the third?
The third is just a hybrid, blending the regular monthly rental payouts with a lump sum when the asset is finally sold.
The vital takeaway here is that the yield is completely divorced from crypto market trends.
Yes, 100%.
Like, Bitcoin could drop 20% in a single afternoon, but if your tokenized apartment building is fully leased out with paying tenants,
your rental yield remains totally steady. The physical cash flow dictates the digital payout.
But, you know, a system that claims to turn real estate into frictionless digital tokens while completely avoiding the volatility of the crypto markets, it sounds a little too flawless.
It's never flawless.
Right. Every time you introduce a new translation layer between two different financial worlds, you introduce new blind spots.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's look at the dangers of mashing up bleeding-edge digital tech with physical, slow-moving assets.
The friction points are really significant. When you bridge two asset classes, you essentially inherit vulnerabilities from both sides.
So what's the first major hurdle?
The first one is market risk. The blockchain cannot magically create tenants or fix a local economy.
Right. Real-world problems.
Exactly. If the neighborhood where the physical property is located goes into a decline, property values drop and rental demand dries up.
And the code can't fix that.
No. The smart contract can't find you a new tenant. If the underlying asset underperforms, the digital token connected to it will suffer proportionally. The technological wrapper doesn't save a bad real estate investment.
Okay, then there is liquidity risk. Because in the traditional crypto space, I can sell an asset at 2 a.m. on a Sunday with the push of a button.
Right, highly liquid.
But a physical skyscraper is fundamentally illiquid.
Very much so. Many of these bridged investments require holding your capital in the platform for a fixed period to match the reality of the property's life cycle.
So you can't just dump it immediately if you get scared?
Usually, no. Even if a secondary market exists to trade the tokens, you need another buyer willing to take that specific slice of that specific building.
Which might be hard to find.
Exactly. If market sentiment cools, you might find yourself holding tokens you cannot easily convert back to cash.
Beyond the property itself, you also have to trust the bridge. This brings in platform risk.
Yes, this is huge.
Because I am relying on the company that set up the special purpose vehicle, the entity that converts the fiat to stablecoins, and the developers who wrote the smart contract.
And a flaw in any of those links breaks the entire chain.
Oh, wow.
If the platform goes bankrupt, or if there is a bug in the smart contract code that sends the funds to the wrong wallet, your digital rights could be compromised.
So the physical building might be generating millions in rent, but if the smart contract gets hacked, the token holders lose their distributions.
Exactly. And then you add regulatory risk on top of that.
Right, because the rules governing digital assets are a patchwork globally.
It's the Wild West right now. What is a perfectly legal tokenized real estate offering in one country might be classified as an unregistered security in another.
So you're basically blending centuries-old property law with cryptocurrency regulations that change every 6 months.
Exactly. This raises an important question, actually. Does bridging these assets actually compound the danger?
Doesn't this setup mean you're essentially taking on double the risk? I mean, I get the worst of the housing market crashes and the worst of the crypto exchange hacks.
Well, it is a convergence of risks, for sure. But the structure actually creates clearer, more defined investment paths than standalone digital assets.
How so?
You're trading pure speculative risk for operational risk. Think about a meme coin. It's backed by absolutely nothing. Its value is purely psychological.
Just vibes and tweets.
Exactly. But a tokenized property has physical real estate providing a foundation of value, the blockchain providing transparency of ownership, and the legal framework providing a defined claim to cash flow.
Okay, so to navigate those operational risks, informed exploration is totally mandatory.
You have to do your homework.
The documentation should be identical to what you would expect from a traditional syndication.
Yes.
Like, a properly structured bridge model must have clear legal frameworks linking the tokens to the special purpose vehicle.
It needs transparent, audited reporting on the physical property's performance, too.
And explicit compliance with local securities regulations. If a platform just says, buy this token to own real estate without showing you the legal wrapper,
that is a massive red flag. Run away.
So, because of this unique risk profile, This structure is tailored to very specific investor profiles.
Right. It is. It heavily appeals to crypto holders who are actively trying to de-risk their portfolios by seeking real-world backing.
Right.
It also attracts diversification-focused professionals who want property exposure without the operational headache of being a landlord.
It also opens the door for cross-border investors.
Bro, hugely.
Because if you want exposure to a booming real estate market on another continent, doing it through a tokenized platform completely removes the need to navigate foreign banking hurdles.
You don't have to hire local lawyers. You don't have to set up international holding companies.
The smart contract just handles the geography.
Exactly. But on the flip side, this is absolutely not designed for day traders.
No 2 a.m. Sunday session.
No. If your strategy relies on flipping a token for a massive multiple over a weekend, real estate-backed tokens will just lock up your capital and frustrate you.
Way tense.
Furthermore, if you are a traditional property investor who forces appreciation by, you know, physically renovating units, managing tenants, and controlling the operation,
tokenization strips away all of that control.
Yes. You are a passive participant holding economic rights, nothing more.
So what does this all mean? Zooming out, the effort to bridge digital finance and physical property is fundamentally about anchoring the digital frontier.
That's a great way to put it.
It takes the speed, the borderless accessibility, and the transparency of blockchain technology, and it applies it to the most reliable, tangible asset class we have.
It's really an attempt to make the crypto market grow up by tying its mechanics to real-world utility.
Navigating this new landscape definitely requires a hybrid mindset.
It does. Safety comes down to understanding the fundamentals of the physical property you're gaining exposure to, acknowledging the illiquid timelines involved, and demanding absolute transparency regarding the legal and technical structures of the platform you use.
Right.
When those elements are verified, the bridge between these two worlds becomes an incredibly powerful financial tool.
It redefines the whole concept of ownership and access. Let's return to that image of you standing on the street looking at that century-old brick building while holding your phone.
Yeah, the two universes.
Think about the implications if this technology scales. If a blockchain can successfully slice up the economic rights of a massive commercial high-rise, process the fiat rent, and instantly distribute stablecoin dividends globally without a single human accountant.
It's mind-blowing.
What happens when every physical asset around you becomes a tokenized investable asset? What happens when the local coffee shop you buy your morning latte from, or the physical toll road you drive on to get to work, are tokenized into microshares available on a digital dashboard?
That changes everything.
How would that change your relationship with the physical world you walk through every single day? Keep looking closer at the structures around you, and keep asking great questions. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.